This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. Trading week getting ready to wrap up. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We're looking for some sunshine this afternoon. AccuWeather says that is in the picture. And a high temperature around 60. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we are on track for nice gains for the week, up about 2% across the board. On the day, the Dow higher by 16 points, NASDAQ adding 41, moving above 7,900, and the S&P up 10, the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining 0.5%. America's economy added 196,000 jobs in March, bouncing back from the prior month's subpar showing. Unemployment held at 3.8%. That's close to a half-century low. All in all, the data suggests the labor market is still strong. Average hourly earnings, though, showed little change. Boeing is making it hard for the Dow to track higher today. Reuters reports Boeing and its suppliers are looking at a 737 MAX production slowdown if this grounding stretches from weeks into months. And Ethiopian Airlines tells Bloomberg it is rethinking an order for 25 additional MAX 737s because of stigma surrounding the aircraft. Crude oil futures continue their move up, gaining another 1% today at $62.60 a barrel. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we'll take a look at the factors that lifted payrolls last month and what's being served at this year's Bacon Fest.
Some employers now throwing hiring parties and inviting prospective employees there, hoping to butter them up and get them to take the job. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Making sense of your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
This week has brought another revelation of customer information hacks involving some large restaurant chains. We're going to talk about ways to protect yourself in our next segment. Right now, the government jobs report for March headlines today's data, and we welcome Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President at Challenger Gray and Christmas here in Chicago. Rick, what's the lead today, as we say in the news business?
The more we know, the less we know. So we've had a stabilizing and a slight uptick in the jobs report. Of course, those always get corrected about a month from now when they get to the bottom of it. But it's a positive number, and at the same time, we track the announced layoffs, which started out discouragingly high in January, and have started to moderate back down. So. I think there's not really much that you can say other than the market still is pretty good. Unemployment is low. There's still a backlog of opportunities and jobs available. The real challenge is to get the jobs that are available aligned and in front of the people that can do them and want to.
Well, the president says that what we should be doing is cutting rates, and that would lift the economy.
Yeah, well, I suppose that, you know, I don't pretend to be an economist, but there's another issue here, which is when you look at the manufacturing numbers, which is where the weakness is, most experts are pointing to the trade war as the cause of that, plus the fact that much of our manufacturing has already been moved out of the country. And it's a global economy. So what we do specifically in the U.S., unless it radiates out to the rest of the world in terms of economic conditions, it's small potatoes.
One of the things that stories that we got that just fascinated me is I know Taco Bell is doing this, maybe other employers, throwing what's called a hiring party to try to get new employees in the door. It just seems like an amazing turn where employers are now really desperate for people.
Well, if you think about, so the leader in this would have been the tech sector back in its most robust days, and still the expectation was you have to have a ping pong table and a foosball table, et cetera. That's how you're going to attract us. And I think what we're really talking about is a cultural attraction. The retail generally is going down, but fast food is going up. So as their normal, you know, tablecloth restaurant business really struggles to keep people coming in, the fast food business fits perfectly. It's inexpensive, it's simple, it's convenient, it's available, and as long as they get the formulas right for the food at the price point, they're going to continue to grow because people are less inclined to stay home and cook. And so now you have that up against this low unemployment number and the need to get more people who will do that work. How can you grow your business if you don't have people that can actually be part of the business when it's running? And so they have to come up with new ways to get people to show up. Food's always an attraction. Throwing a party is always an attraction. And so you put those two together. I think it's a nice hook.
And there's other, pretty much every employer you mentioned in the restaurant space is doing something. I mean, Papa John's is offering some free tuition, Starbucks wanting to let employees actually serve in nonprofits. You have just sort of a variety of incentives. Not all of them are financial. Some of them are kind of some of these ancillary things.
Absolutely. So if you look at the population that you're trying to attract, the younger workers, I shudder to use the word millennial because it's pretty close to under 40, and that's a big part of the workforce. But that population, I won't say they're altruistic, but they're far more interested in the experience as opposed to an income, the value proposition, the mission of the organization, and also feeling like they're part of that. And so you can do some pretty easy or relatively simple things by, you know, helping them with the cost of their education in the form of low interest or no interest loans or paying that off. You can also take on a social value mission that appeals to an audience and say, you know, as part of our organization, you're also contributing to this charity. And those things really resonate with this workforce, that part of the workforce, more than they might us cynical boomers.
Along with the tuition discounts and some other ideas, what about the salaries?
Yeah, well, that's the price. It's almost like table stakes right now. With such a tight economy, you have to be competitive. You look at some of the major companies, basically stepping up and saying, okay, we're going to a minimum wage of $13, eventually $15, or $15 right out of the gate. So they know that in order to get people to come in and be potential employers, they have to pay a competitive wage. So that's the table stakes. So now if the population of supply and demand says a lot of people need X dollars to take the job, what gets them to come to you as opposed to the other organization? It's going to be the non-compensation things. It's going to be the mission, the statement, the environment, and the non-cash perks.
Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President, Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. Thanks for the insight. Chris, I'm wondering, you think the bosses will let us get like a little Papa shot here in the studio? I'm working on it.
They will now.
I'm working on it. Coming up, the latest credit card hack. It involves restaurants. It reveals another slow response by retailers.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A hack over the past 10 months may have exposed the credit and debit card information of as many as 2 million diners at restaurants, including Planet Hollywood and Buca di Beppo. Let's get the latest on what you can do about it from Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions, member of the Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force based here in Chicago. Jerry, have we reached a point? I'm not saying this is a good thing, but have we reached a point where we just hear about these hacks so many times that people are just starting to ignore them?
Yeah, unfortunately, I feel that is the case. You know, it's the boy crying wolf, to the point where nobody really cares anymore. And it's very difficult to protect yourself as a consumer from these type of events when the hacking is occurring on your, on the retailer's network as opposed to something you're doing.
So what can we, in this particular hack, how are people getting the information? Are they going online and somehow breaking into the systems? How do they do this?
Yeah, there's a couple of different types with point of sale attacks. Predominantly, they are at the back end, at the server level. So like the Target breach and even the breach we're talking about now, it's the servers at their location that were hacked. And that information was stored, credit card information and user IDs and stuff was breached. However, there are also point of sales breaches that occur at the individual facilities. This is more difficult, even though the devices are, easier to get on. The difference is, a hacker is only going to get, a dozen pieces of information from people who, buy something at the store that day, as opposed to going back and getting the database where everything exists. So that's the predominance, is going back at the server level. So the things to do to protect yourself, again, don't store your credit card information on a website's, web page. Either log in as guest or use a payment system, either your Amazon Pay or Apple Pay or some other type, PayPal, something, so that your credit card information isn't stored at that database where the company is. If they get breached, all of their stuff is stolen.
Is this problem getting worse or better?
It's getting worse. There are organizations out there that are designed to help with this. PCI, the payment card industry, has certifications that are required for companies in order to be compliant for saving information. Unfortunately, the types of breaches that are occurring are things that are more managed by individuals. A user clicks on an email and their system is hacked, or they go into a website and download something that they shouldn't download, and as a result, hackers get access to the back-end network. So it's just like we tell all of the consumers, don't go and click on websites that you haven't been to before, don't open emails, don't open attachments. It's the same thing at the business level. Another thing that's happening is, and you may even notice this on your own printer, when you set up a printer now, you have the ability to do internet printing, which means I could print a document from my phone at another location to my home printer. Well, that's being accessed now by hackers at corporations, and they're gaining access to networks via that. Anytime anything allows you to connect to your system remotely, there's a vulnerability in that. And companies need to be more diligent in protecting that and encrypting 100% of that data.
Good information, as always. Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions, also a member of the Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force based here in Chicago. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicago area family business still thriving after 50 years. We'll find out why. An update on the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we continue to see a move up for stocks, the Dow gaining 23 points and right now trading at 26,408. That's a gain of 0.1% on the day, higher by almost 2% for the week. NASDAQ up 42 points or 0.5%, and the S&P is higher by 11. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 0.2%. McDonald's customers in search of a midnight snack will find fewer options starting at the end of the month. McDonald's is cutting some items from the after midnight menu. Big Macs, Chicken McNuggets, and all-day breakfast will stay. What's going? Filet of fish and salads. Crude oil futures are higher today, right now up 1% to $62.73 a barrel. For a check of the grains markets, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
And we have lower grain prices across the board. May corn down 3 at 362 and a quarter. December down 2 and 3 quarters, 389 and a half. May beans down 7 and 3 quarters, 898 and 3 quarters. November's down 6 and 3 quarters at 932 and 3 quarters. And July wheat down 2 and a quarter at 515 and 3 quarters. Trump this morning talked about the U.S.-China agreement. Could take another 4 weeks, and that's laid heavily on the markets. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Codo.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are gaining ground today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday, we meet the president of a Chicago area company with more than 50 years of history as a family business.
It's a huge weekend for pork lovers in Chicago. We'll preview this year's Bacon Fest.
An Ohio man is charged with making false statements after claiming to be an Illinois boy who's been missing since 2011.
President Trump heads to California for a visit with law enforcement at the border with Mexico.
Right now on the markets, the Dow Industrials up by about 21 points, the S&P up 10, and the NASDAQ up by 41.
Clouds beginning to break in Chicagoland. We'll all see sunshine later this afternoon, heading to a high right about 60 degrees. Right now, 44 O'Hare, 45 Midway, 46 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the stocks are higher this hour. We're joined by Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Not talking about just one day in the markets, Jack, but what have you been seeing recently as well as today?
Sure. I think today it certainly puts an exclamation point on what we've been seeing over the last several weeks, and in fact, probably a couple of months, actually, and that is certainly a general slowing of economic growth and earnings activity, but a somewhat confident view that we're going to avoid a downturn, avoid a recession, and even kind of insulate ourselves from the slowdown that's going on overseas.
We mentioned earlier, and I want to throw this in here, that the president is saying that the Fed should cut rates and that would lift the economy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, throwing some fuel onto the fire would certainly lift the economy in the short run. But, you know, keeping interest rates artificially low can only get you so much. You know, I think the president was right in being critical of the Federal Reserve late last year as they were attempting to try to normalize rate policy in a weakening environment. But to turn around and actually lower rates from here and then not only end quantitative tightening, but then embark on an emergency quantitative easing measure again, I think, is probably a little too much policy given the current growth that we have right now.
Does Wall Street breathe a sigh of relief with this jobs report, given the last one that we had? It was kind of concerning. It now seems like we're doing all right again.
Yeah, Cisco, that was absolutely right. Last month was a shocker, actually. If you recall, you know, we've had roughly an average growth of nearly 200,000 jobs per month. Last month came in at 20,000 jobs. So pretty far off the mark. And so, you know, obviously that left investors wondering, is that a trend? Is it an aberration? And thankfully, today's number, which was pretty darn close to 200,000 jobs, suggests that last month was an aberration.
Also, President says it looks like we're getting closer to a trade deal with China. As far as investors go, is any sort of a deal kind of baked into the markets, or do you think we might see a bump once it's actually done?
We may see a bump once it's done, but, you know, here's my concern, Cisco, and that is a lot of investors and even just observers are looking at this trade deal as some kind of a binary outcome. Either we're going to have a sweeping deal and we're going to agree on every point and issue, or we're not. And I think that our relationship with China is so complex and so nuanced, there's part that we're going to be able to agree on, and there's probably part that we aren't going to agree on, and it's entirely possible there may be tariffs in place that are in place indefinitely. So I think that investors who are looking for, you know, happy days are here again with trade, particularly with China, may be left wanting even after some kind of an agreement.
There was some concern, and a lot of people were voicing it about the economy and whether, in fact, that there could be a recession. Is that kind of out of the discussion now?
Well, you know, I think the concern centered around the inversion of the yield curve. You know, this was when the 10-year Treasury yield dropped below the 3-month Treasury yield. And historically, every time that's happened, we've had a recession. So I do think that, in you know, some investors were rightly concerned about it when it went into inversion a couple of weeks ago. I think this time around it is different, given the amount of activity going on with stimulus monetary policy, even, you know, 10 years into a recovery. So I think this time is different, and the data is probably slowly showing those concerned investors that we probably aren't going to, you know, enter a recession anytime soon.
If somebody asked you, where should I be looking for investments, how would you guide someone to something that looks good right now?
Sure, besides investing with Crescent, you're asking me?
Yes.
Sure. I would look at small caps. I think small caps, you know, they are insulated from the vagaries of the global economy. They have tended to do better earlier this year. And from a valuation standpoint, they're I would say, well within their reasonable range. And that, you know, I look at price earnings, price to book, price to sales. And U.S. large caps and the S&P can't say that. I think price to earnings is within a reasonable range, but price to sales and price to book among the S&P is high. So, to me, it's a nice place to be, as smaller companies, domestically focused, and with the trajectory that we have in place, I think should stand to benefit.
Always good to have your analysis. Jack Ablin, who is Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Up next, Entrepreneur Friday, keeping a family feel as a company grows to several hundred employees.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Hotels of Oak Brook. This afternoon, we're learning about a Chicago area mechanical services company that's been family run since the 1960s and a proud sponsor here of News Radio. Gordon Schroll is joining us, president ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, based here in Chicago. Gordon, good to have you with us. Now, are you part of it? You're not the you didn't found it back in the 60s, did you?
No, I did not found it. Actually, my dad bought the company in 1968, but the company really was founded in 1948.
So talk about...
He purchased the company in 1968, and I came on board in 1973.
So over all those years, you've grown and grown. You now have, you know, well over 100 employees. How do you keep it feeling like it's a family business when you get to be so big?
Well, you got to be intentional about it, and so we're super intentional about it. When we... have new employees come on board, we do engagements where we'll gather and bring existing staff in along with all the new people, make sure that we're getting to know who they are. We have lots of photos of people around our building. I think we have something like 20 TVs throughout our building that we have photos of the different techs and the different office people. We just want to make sure that we're making that connection and knowing who's who.
Gordon, there's so much that has occurred in the 51 years that you've been in business, and the things that you've done that you do have changed so much with the technology, et cetera. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you wouldn't think of plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and electric as being an industry that is so technology-driven. But, you know, all of the back stuff is really technology-driven, knowing who your customer is, figuring that out, to the communication methods. Really, technology is part of our day every day, and analytics is part of our day every day, and so it's pretty amazing.
And being here in the Chicago area must be a pretty good place to get clients.
We love Chicago. I mean, I'm born and raised here, lived here all my life, and you know, it's a great market. We've got great people, and we've been able to grow with the area, and it's fantastic.
Talk about the challenge of competition, because there are a lot of people doing what you do, yet you've been able to stick in business for so long. How do you navigate that? You already talked about kind of some of the technological changes. How do you just navigate it in the business world?
Well, you try to be really the guy that stands out, the company that stands out. And whether you're a small company or a big company, that's what you try to do. And so our company is very focused on training. And that's really become a critical component as we've gotten bigger, is to make sure that we can keep that message that we want to share to the customer, So we're really, somebody new comes in here, they don't go out in the field in front of the customer until they've gone through an intensive training program that really lasts about 3 weeks. And it's all about customer focus and how we do things. And so when we do all of that stuff, then we can kind of stand on our own with that customer and then move on to the next one and stand with them. And so people see that and they understand it, and then we get the referrals, and so it just works well for us.
That's good insight for budding entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us. Gordon Schroll, president of ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric here in Chicago, our Friday entrepreneur. Still to come, the weekend custom-made for bacon lovers in Chicago.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The coveted Golden Rasher Award is on the line this weekend for the restaurant with the most creative use of bacon. And there's also a charitable aspect to Bacon Fest Chicago. Let's get a preview with co-founder of Bacon Fest Chicago, Seth Zurer. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour today, Seth. What are we going to see and eat this weekend?
Well, we're going to eat a lot of bacon. We have three sessions tonight, one tonight, two on Saturday. Tickets are available to all three. And Bacon Fest is a bacon lover's paradise. There will be 150 different restaurants, each one serving a unique and delicious bacon dish. And folks with tickets can get an all-inclusive guest pass to our bacon wonderland, including beer, cocktails, wine, as well as all those creative bacon dishes.
Tell us about some of the past Bacon Fest winners.
Sure. Chef Takashi from Slurping Turtle won a couple years ago with an incredible Japanese bacon egg custard that had fava beans and asparagus and bacon fat. And last year, we had an incredible dish from the Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar in Ukrainian Village. They did a dumpling. It was a Russian dumpling called a pelmeni filled with bacon cheese and in a bacon dashi broth, a little microgreens. You get some serious fancy culinary bacon happening at Bacon Fest.
So let's say, I mean, obviously creativity is a big part of it, but let's say you're like me and you just like strips of crispy bacon. Can you find any of those at Bacon Fest?
Yes, indeed you can. Our sponsor, Newskies, sends 7,000 pounds of bacon to various restaurants, all the restaurants around the city, and they'll be on tap at the event handing out strips of bacon to anybody that wants one.
Oh, sounds good. So a charity aspect of this. I mean, bacon lovers, yes. Restaurateurs, yes. But there's a charity aspect to this. It's about fun, but it's also about some good causes.
Exactly. We support the Greater Chicago Food Depository with a donation from the proceeds of our event. Since we started, this is our 11th annual event, we've given more than $440,000 to the food bank. And if you combine that with our raffle, with the food donations that guests bring, that adds up to more than 1.3 million meals for hungry Chicagoans.
What in your mind has been, after I imagine that you have done some tastings, what was the best you've ever had?
Don't make me choose. It's like choosing between my children. They're all delicious.
Got it.
Yeah. Sounds like a guy who founded it, right?
Yeah, hey. I only have one child, by the way.
And you still struggle. Yes,
yeah.
I'm with you on that. You're my favorite and my least favorite. Seth Zurer, co-founder of Bacon Fest Chicago. It begins tonight. More info at baconfestchicago.com. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast will be available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the radio.com app. Bloomberg will check the markets next. WBBM News Time 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour with a check of Wall Street, sponsored by Baird at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we remain just north of the flat line for the Dow, up 25 points to 26,409, just about 400 points off the Dow's highest ever closing level. The Nasdaq is gaining 43 points to 79.35, S&P higher by 11 to 28.90, and the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index is higher by about 0.5%. The pace of hiring sped up again in March after a stellar January, but a February swoon. The Labor Department finds 196,000 jobs added to payrolls last month. That follows the upwardly revised, but still pretty meager, 33,000 jobs added in February and a whopping 311,000 jobs that were added in January. The unemployment rate held at 3.8%. Technology has made waiting in line for the bank teller obsolete. Bank of America is redecorating to make its branches more inviting to customers who do have to come in. The bank says about 1,000 were remodeled over the past 3 years. Its goal is 1,500 more branches over the next 3 years. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.